Peace, God.
Peace to the God.
How you, God?
I'm studying 120 right now. Call me back at the God hour.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Harry.
Oh, hey, pa.
What's going on?
How we doing?
Was good.
Been a few weeks, man.
Yeah. What's the good word? Juice! Where's Juice?
Oh, man. So, unfortunately, Juice won't be joining us. He's working hard. He's on a quest, a journey to become the next owner of the New York Knickerbockers. And in that, he has to study and do his homework.
Yeah, he's pretty much been, it's been like 6 months he's been already, then he's had like 1 week break and he's right back at it. It's been a rigorous schedule for our friend Jay Juice.
Yes, but he did have a message for us, and that was WWE is the best sport of all, and that's all.
Yeah. WrestleMania, by the way, is literally his favorite, I don't know, is it favorite day or a favorite sporting event?
Favorite sporting event, he was saying, which was pretty shocking. It is a pretty amazing event. I heard it went 5 hours this year, though. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I was trying to, I don't understand. He said you get the WWE, like, network. I always thought it was pay-per-view, but I guess they moved on to bigger things, like getting their own channel. I kind of wish I saw, like, the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's massive now. I'm not going to lie. I kind of wish, like, I kind of wanted to see a little bit of it, too. But
yeah.
No big deal. It sounds like they didn't miss much. I guess Brock Lesnar won, which everyone was shocked about, and Ronda Rousey, I guess, was pretty good.
Yeah, oh. I saw clips. She was like picked up like Triple H or whatever. I heard she actually like did good because people were a little like skeptical, like her character, if she'd fit in, but supposedly she put on like a good show for everyone. So she's getting Vince is getting his money's worth with her so far.
For sure, absolutely. I mean, yeah, she's better off after getting like knocked out that time. I think. MMA was kind of, that was kind of it for her.
I'm intrigued by Nakamura after Josh sent the that like video of his big show with like the, it's like the house violin music where he's just like bugging out.
Yeah, that guy is whacked out.
Yeah, I wanna find out more about this guy.
Yo, he looked like, I don't even want to know. But speaking of wrestling, we watched you watched Andre last night, right?
Yeah, actually, I fell asleep in like the final like 10 minutes, but I feel like I definitely caught the gist of it.
You got the gist, yeah. I think you missed probably like when he dies and stuff, which he actually
Was it like that disease that they were talking about earlier, like the doctor fee or something? I don't know
It was weird. They were kind of unclear about it. Like they were talking about that disease, and then basically just his heart stopped. He died in his sleep, and. Yeah. You know, leading up to it, all they would say was, like, he couldn't walk really anymore. His back and neck were just, like, awful.
How old was he? Like, did he make it past his 40s or not?
He made it to 46. They thought he wouldn't even make it to 40. So he made it to 46. And
that's amazing.
It is amazing. And it's fucking... Yeah. And wrestling, it's so grueling. Like, just, like... Oh, my God. Like, you know, everyone likes to say, oh, it's fake. It's fake. It's acting, whatever. Yes, to a point. But, like, these guys are really going through it. Like, they're really breaking their bodies.
That's a crazy grind, the traveling every single night. I don't know how they do it, especially since they all party, like, every night. And, you know, these aren't, like, young guys a lot of the time. They're not in their 20s, 21. Some of them are, like, you know, mid-30s, like, still doing this, you know, grind city to city. And back then... guys are traveling on like shitty buses, probably flying coach when there wasn't too much money, you know what I mean? So I don't know, I have no idea how he did it, especially like how the hell did he fit on planes. I guess he pretty much took up like a whole like,
yeah, I mean they really had to, like there was one story where like I guess he was staying at some hotel and he couldn't fit in the bathroom, so what he would have to do is like shit on a blanket. And then the maid would have to come in, wrap it up, throw it away. Yeah, it was fucking gross. But, like, I mean, this is the type of things. Like, he couldn't do certain things because, you know, 7'4", 500 pounds. I mean.
Well, that's what I'll get. Like, how do they, who makes toothbrushes for this guy? Who makes, like, anything for this guy? Like, how did he, I don't know how he just got through life. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. But he seemed like, you know, he seemed like a pretty happy guy. I mean, the
yeah.
How, you know, obviously, you know, the stories about how.
I think he knew that he was going to, you know, they told him, hey, you're not going to live till whatever, 40 or so. So he's like, fuck it. I'm going to party. I'm going to do everything, travel the world, just live my best life. And he definitely did.
Yeah, he would drink like record amounts of, he would down like 6 bottles of wine and then drink like 50 beers. And that would be like in one sitting. He'd be like buzzed, like yeah. If that.
I think what did Ric Flair say? He's like, yeah, one night it was 106 beers I had with him. I was like, dude, what? I don't care how big you are. That's ridiculous. Like,
yeah, because you got
Shaq. You think Shaq can drink like even 20 beers, 30 beers? I don't know.
I'd have to say
no.
Yeah, probably not.
Like 106. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, you got to think what Ric Flair probably downed like 30 of those realistically. So you're telling me that Andre the Giant downed 70 beers in...
Ridiculous.
Or 76 ridiculous. Beers, whatever, in one night. Like, that's fucking insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
I didn't know, like, with him, that he was, like... Obviously, I knew he was a huge, like, star. He was kind of, like, the first of its kind being that big. But, like, every big wrestler, like, looked up to him.
Yeah.
Like, in every regard.
Yeah. Hogan. And I didn't realize that he was, like... Up until that WrestleMania where Hulk Hogan beat him, and he was undefeated. And I don't know if they did that just because, you know, it's crazy to think that anyone could have beaten him until right. Hulk Hogan came on, and Hulk Hogan went on to become probably the greatest wrestler of all time.
Right.
I wish we had Juice here to, you know, argue that, but, you know, he'd probably agree.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But let's move on from that. Another documentary that I got to watch last night, which was probably one of the best documentaries I've watched.
Odessa?
I mean, oh, yeah. Operation Odessa. Incredible, man. It was so good. So many great characters. I can't wait for the movie. You know there's going to be a movie.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. Who was your favorite? So you got Tarzan, who's like the crazy Russian... strip club owner, restaurant owner. Then you got Juan Almeida, who's like the Miami hustler,
yeah,
slick type guy. And then you got Tony Yester.
Yester, but his name is, didn't they say like his name is Nelson, and then it went to Tony. It kept on going like back and forth. Obviously, this guy has like a bunch of different names, but even like Tarzan, he would call him Tony one time, and then he would also call him like Nelson. So I was like, you know, which one is it?
Well, he said Tony Yester, he said he lost count of all of his names that he's used, all the ideas, because he's an international fugitive. So yeah. He's like literally every day of his life, he's like changing his name and identity and just like,
right.
That was nuts. He was like he was being interviewed on like a private jet or something like that. Like,
well, the interviewer, he's like, oh, take me through, you know, the Cali cartel, like how the ranks or whatever. All of a sudden, he gets, like, man quiet, and he's like,
no.
He's like, you don't mind your fucking business, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, this guy is no joke.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's Cuban, right? He's obviously Cuban.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's, like, something, like, he's, like, really, like, a mysterious guy. Like, he's definitely not just, like, a drug dealer. I heard he, like, worked for, like, he was trained by the KGB, CIA, like, a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, he was...
You don't stay on the run for 20 years. I don't care, like, how elusive you are unless, like, someone wants you to get caught or if you have, like, crazy connections.
Right. No, he's been on the run for 28 years. How is that possible? Like,
yeah.
I mean, the guy's obviously mad smart. He was good looking. I mean, he was well connected. I mean, he was one of, like, Escobar's, like, guys. Like, he was one of his, like, go-to guys. So...
Yeah.
And then he completely fucked over Tarzan and Juan when he just took the cartel's $10 million and just, you know, that's when he disappeared and ran off. And that was supposed to go towards a fucking submarine that the cartel wanted to use.
The backstory with this is like pretty much they were, you know, big time players, but they got on a whole nother level after, I think it was Tarzan. Tarzan was taking, what, the helicopters or the choppers from Russia, right?
Right.
And then, I guess he got caught, you know, Russian mob was like, hey, like, what the hell are you doing? And they were about to probably either kill him or who knows, like, do what to him. And he just started, you know, quick on his feet, started talking out of his ass. He's like, hey, you know, I can get you guys in touch with Pablo Escobar. So, of course, they took it. And I don't know how they pulled that off. They got Almeida to be Pablo Escobar, fly over. You know, these are Russian, like, crazy, big-time criminals. They're smart guys. Yeah, they're savage, but they're smart, like you would think. You would think that they would know the real Pablo Escobar from a guy pretending to be.
Right.
I don't care how much you look alike. And they totally pulled it off.
I couldn't believe that they fell for that shit. And like he was like, I mean, it's you can't even write that in a movie, like, and people would believe it. You know what I mean? Like, just wild stories. They would go over to Russia and what would they buy? Like thousands of motorcycles or helicopters for like dirt cheap, and then just flip it to the cartels. Like, how is this shit going on? Especially everything going on with the U.S. and Russia now. Like, can that happen in this day and age? What they were doing back in the, what was that, like, 80s? Yeah.
With late 70s, early 80s. But think about it. Like, that's, like, not crazy long ago. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they were getting onto the naval base. They're like, listen, even military guys don't get on here. But they were allowing freaking Tarzan, who looks like just a character in itself. And, you know, buying submarines, taking pictures. And they could have legit had that submarine moved over to Colombia. And they're like, oh, by the way, do you want the missiles with that? Or he's like, what the fuck? They're asking, like, nuclear bombs and things. Like, crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, really wild shit. I'm trying to think. Obviously, I think there needs to be a movie made about this. It's just an incredible story. And I'd encourage everyone, it's on Showtime, to check this documentary out. It's an hour and a half. It's just an incredible story. Who would you think... Let's start with Tarzan. I was thinking maybe like a Russell Crowe. What do you think?
Tarzan? He's just got to bulk up a little bit, obviously. But yeah, they definitely... He can pull that off, like the longer hair, definitely.
Yeah, do like an accent or something, or... Yeah, someone on a little more on the chubby side. He was hilarious. I fucking loved him. He's like... What was it? Like, they did something. He's like, mission is accomplished. Nice. Yeah.
that's the thing. I feel like he probably should have gotten killed, like, so many times. But even these, like, hardened criminals, they just kind of, like, fell for him. They all loved him. You know what I mean? They wanted him around.
Yeah, no, he seemed like the best guy ever to, like, hang out with and just talk to. He just seemed like a fun-loving guy. But what I didn't understand was... So he was a Brooklyn dude, Brighton Beach. He worked for the Italian mob, right? In New York?
He worked for the Gambino crime family, like when Gotti and like Roy DiMeo, all those guys were like, you know, they were probably the biggest crime organization in America at the time. And I guess they killed his partner, and he was even like, I got to get the hell out of here. These guys are even like, this guy was a tough guy that got killed. He's like, if they killed him, they'll have no problem killing me. So he figured get out of there and, you know, start his own thing, which is the smart move on his part.
But how was he just allowed to just do that? I mean,
he's just muscle. They'll take anyone.
Right. Right.
Like, you know, he was obviously not a made guy, but he was just an associate, and he did the dirty work for him.
Was he given kick? So he goes to Miami. He opens this strip club called Porky's. Which is Porky's still around? I feel like it is. It sounds familiar.
I think it is, actually.
There's one in Atlanta. I know there's one in Atlanta. I don't know if they're affiliated.
I'm sure there's like a whole bunch throughout the country.
Probably a chain. Obviously, Tarzan, I don't think, has any more involvement. But do you think he was giving kickbacks to the Gambino family from the club? They didn't harp on that, but you got Fat Tony, who clearly...
Well, exactly. I think they sent down Fat Tony to kind of, you know, be around it and make sure he's given, like, the proper, you know, dues to the guys in New York, I would think, because they can kind of shut that down if they wanted to.
Absolutely. And I guess so it ends with
Babushka.
Then he opens up the Russian restaurant Babushka in North Miami.
I want to know more about this, the cannibal guy, the Russian guy.
Goiza.
He got so scared when, like, they even mentioned his name. He was like, I don't know why. Like, the guy's dead, obviously, but you can tell he was obviously, like, scared shitless of that guy.
Well, he was a snitch, so I think he was. It didn't almost seem like he was scared shitless. It seemed almost like he was, like, pissed off.
That's right.
Yeah, because he was a snitch. But, yeah, that Goyza guy was nuts. Didn't he bite a cop's, like, nose off or something?
Yeah, so they started calling him the cannibal.
The cannibal, yeah. Oh, man. That documentary, it was so amazing. All right, so other than Tarzan, all right, so Juan Almeida, I couldn't really decide who would play him. For some reason, all I could think of was John Lithgow, but he's too old.
How about Bobby Bacala? He's too fat. He's not tall.
How about Bobby Cannavale? I mean, they don't look or sound or anything alike, but I could just, you know, they could plug anyone in there. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that actually would be good. And you play Chip Rossetti, was like huge guy in Boardwalk.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess I have to think about it. And then Tony or Nelson Yester.
Gotta be a Spanish guy, obviously. Like, you know, tall, lean.
Well, I think you could plug, what's his face in there? The guy who, you know, he's in the Star Wars movies and... shit. The movie about Yonkers, he played the mayor. Oh, my God.
Harrison Ford?
What are you talking about?
I'm kidding, Harry.
Oh, my God. Shit. What's his name? I don't know. Whatever. He'll come to me.
Jose Calderon.
What's that?
Jose Calderon.
You know what? Jose Calderon? That'd actually be pretty good. They actually kind of look like him.
Looks like him. Yeah.
Yeah, he actually does look like him a little bit. But yeah, that what an amazing documentary. Did we miss anything on that documentary? We pretty much covered all this.
The whole way, it kind of... Excuse me, how it ended. So, did Yester like go on his own to take this money, or were like Almeida and Tarzan included, but they got arrested before they could be a part of it?
So,
that's what I don't get.
It was really unclear. It sounded like Tarzan was kind of like banished from America, like exiled from America, because he was living in Russia, present day. Juan Almeida actually did get busted for drugs and weapon charges, they were saying. So he did time.
Well, I know, but like they also, like, Tarzan, like, recanted his testimony and he got out. So how can you just... That would never happen in today's day and age. If you got a guy convicted and just be like, oh, no, it was all bullshit. Meanwhile, he's, like, kind of, like, getting, like, witness protection program perks. That doesn't make any sense at all.
I know.
Pretty much like outsmarted the DEA, CIA, and like a whole bunch of shit. It was wild.
There's some stuff being left out. It has to be. Yeah. Some behind the scenes shit.
There's clearly they were involved with government stuff, and you know, there was a lot of government officials who probably didn't want to be linked to it or whatever with Russia. So it was very touchy subject.
Right. Oh, and by the way, Oscar Isaac. That's who I was thinking of.
Yeah.
I think he'd be pretty good. I they better make this movie. It's so good. And then
how about Michael Imperioli?
For who?
For Yester. No? Not
Nah. Maybe for Almeida. I mean, you don't need him to look exactly like the guy. I mean,
yeah.
I think he could be like maybe good for Almeida, but yeah, we could talk about this all day. Another, well, I guess it's not a documentary, but another HBO movie, Paterno.
Ugh.
Fucking depressing.
Yeah, like, I watched it because I thought, like, Pacino would, like, do great acting, which, you know, he definitely pulled the part of, like, making Joe look like a clueless, bumbling idiot, like, throughout the whole entire movie. His voice wasn't good, though. It was the actual Pacino voice. Like, Paterno had, like, a really low... raspy, like, different voice, kind of high pitched,
like, ah, yeah, like a fucking, not, like a turtle.
Yeah, but that, yeah, like, it wasn't like that at all. It was like, eh, but whatever. It can't make that perfect. But I thought it was well done. They definitely gave some details I didn't know about, you know, like that it went back to 1976 or whatever, which is just,
yeah,
like, sickening to think it's 24 plus whatever it happened in 2000, what? 10, 12. So this dude knew about it for over, you know, 3 decades and didn't do anything. It was just, you know, bullshit. There's no excuse for it. Just a sad fucking thing. But, you know, HBO did a good job, I think, portraying the whole story for people that didn't know about it.
Yeah, I mean, it really made you, because you saw it before I did, and you were like, you know, Penn State's a cult, fuck them, the whole thing. And I, after watching it, you really kind of, they really painted a picture of like,
yeah,
just like Penn State, like so many, I mean, listen, a lot of those students who were protesting, you know,
right,
about
a lot of, you can tell, like a lot of them, they were just following, like, remember the two girls that like got like interviewed, obviously this is not factual stuff, but I'm sure there are a lot of people like it. She was like in the protest or whatever, but she's like, he knew about it that long, you know, he didn't report it, child's getting raped, you know, he should be in fucking jail. And then the lady was like, oh, can I put, you know, can I quote you on that? She's like, hell no, I don't want to get killed in my sleep.
No. Yeah, that was so, kind of alarming.
I'm sure that's a lot of people who felt like that. They had those feelings, but they didn't want to be like the black sheep of everybody and kind of, you know, say that out loud. Everyone was just kind of keeping it inside, which is, you can't be doing that.
Right. And you know what? It almost seemed like, yeah, like you said, like, you know, the college kids, it almost seemed like the thing to do, like, oh, let's go out and like march and protest and riot. Like, this is
right.
But you know, they weren't, no one was thinking logically. I'm sure a lot of those kids, you know, regret doing that after, yeah, you know, all the facts came out. And
the worst part of it is, it's obviously the officials in Penn State, law enforcement, and, you know, the prosecutors who were to bring charges, like the cops, the county, was it Center County, I think, like, clearly there were, clearly some shady shit was going on. I think it went a lot bigger, and we'll never know the full extent of it.
Oh yeah, I hate to go all conspiracy theory, but you know, I've heard Pennsylvania is like the pedophile epicenter of America. I mean, it's just a lot of stories and fucked up shit that goes on there. And then, you know, when Penn State goes through a whole long, you know, 40-year scandal, I guess you could say. I mean, 1976, this guy was doing it. Like,
right.
That was crazy how they ended the movie with that, too. Like, it was just like,
yeah,
you know, the guy calls the reporter, and boom, they just like, oof. I mean,
I think,
yeah.
Craziest thing I heard from it, I read up on it a little bit, and in 2005, the district attorney, his name was like Ray Gricar, I think, or whatever. This was like when like the investigation was like still going on, getting info. The DA completely just disappeared. And hey, he obviously got murdered, and they found his hard drive in a river.
Whoa.
Yeah. Ooh, check that out. Like, Google it. It was insane. Supposedly, a lot of the donors for the Second Mile Foundation were like hooked up, you know, big time politicians from Philly, all over Pennsylvania, and it was connected to a pedophile ring that was like actually involving with the Gambino crime family.
With the Gambino? What?
Yeah, because they controlled, you know, the porn industry and prostitution, so that stuff was kind of involved with it. Maybe they didn't mean for that to happen, but it was like kind of like an offshoot from that. Anytime you're dealing with, come on, you know, they deal with human trafficking or did with that stuff, so that stuff is going to be involved too.
Oh my god.
That is, whoa.
Well, yeah, look up that name, Ray Gricar, and you'll be like, holy shit.
Wow. It's really like some True Detective type shit. Like,
yeah.
It's,
we'll never know the full truth of it.
But... Nah, but it was, yeah, it was a pretty depressing movie. I will not be watching that movie again, that's for sure. It was good, but yeah, again, not a rewatchable for me. What do you think of Billions lately?
It's been good. The first two episodes are kind of like fillers, getting everybody back into it. This last episode I liked a lot. Starting to put everything together, and you can see like what sides the people are going to be on and like how it's going to start going forward. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I'm really starting to like Connerty a lot more. He's almost...
I hated him in the beginning. Now I like...
Yeah, first season I was just like, eh. Second season I'm like, eh, he's gonna... And now I'm like, he's starting to break off from Chuck a little bit. Like he's,
yeah,
like he's starting to like see like all like the behind this, you know, dirty shit that he's doing, and he's, you know, he's woke, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm really liking his character. It's so funny with like the scene in the last episode where Axe and Lara are sitting there and they just signed the papers. They just got divorced, right? And they're just like so calm and cool about it, and they're like, "How are we gonna survive off $300 million or so?" Like,
oh my god! When they were doing that, I was like, what?
Like, are you kidding me?
320, yeah. And then the other guy who, you know, he gave, he kind of kind of dicked over with the police pension fund or whatever. I forget his name.
Right.
He's like, 40 million. He's like, yeah, shit. He's like, I'm broke. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. You guys live a different world from everybody.
Yeah, ridiculous. Ridiculous. I still, you know, I hate to let it bother me because it is just a TV show, but the thing that gets me is it's such smart writing and such a smart show, but it's just so, like, unbelievable to me that, like, the premise is Chuck is married to Wendy. Wendy works for Axe. So, technically, Axe is paying for Chuck's mortgage, paying for his kids' schooling and groceries and living, and just, he's, like, paying for him, but at the same time, Chuck's trying to bring him down. It's just, like, this would never, ever happen in real life.
Yeah, it is kind of... Yeah, that angle of the show, I think they went a little too far with that. Because she's like the middle person.
Sure.
Like, the cop, the most, you know, that's who he... Chuck goes to her when he's got, like, the biggest problems, and Bobby goes to her as well. So it's like, it just makes no sense, like you said. I thought they could have done, like, better writing with that part.
Yeah, I don't know what else you could do, but, I mean, it makes it definitely more dramatic, so to speak. Yeah. And...
I like this, the new Attorney General.
Oh, the guy from Shawshank.
Yeah. They're clearly, like, showing him as, like, big-time conservative, you know, gun-loving, right-wing, like, protect the police or whatever. You know, all these little, like, metaphors. And he's, like, cleaning his gun when they're, like, on the phone
or whatever.
He's like, where I'm from, we do that, we put our cattle down. Like, I was like, all right. The whole, rhetoric in there is, like, so easy to figure out.
Right.
But, I don't know. It'd be interesting if it's, like, Chuck versus him with that, what is it? Lugo, the guy? The prisoner who, like, killed the guard or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. It's gonna be crazy. I think... I'm confused about... What's the guy, Connery's boss? His name is Oliver?
Oliver.
I wonder where he's gonna go. Like, what route he's gonna go into.
Yeah, I don't know. Him and Chuck were like nemesis in the following season. Well, no, he came on with Chuck last season. And, yeah.
But then Chuck hooked him up, getting him, you know, the spot in that other district or whatever. And then, what was it? Ira was like, you know, spilling his guts out about Chuck. And the guy was like, shut up. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
He's like, I came, I got appointed to take down... you know, act or whatever. So he's clearly, he was such like a tight ass, like he wouldn't do anything like backdoor wise or whatever. Now he's playing the whole game that Chuck is. He's becoming exactly like the shit that he was investigating.
Right. Exactly. But anything to become governor.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the end game for him. He's willing to do whatever it takes. And if it, you know, his best friend hates him. His dad hates him. And he did this all for, you know, to bring down Axe, and it's not even going to work when it's all said and done. Now Ira is compromised by Axe, and it's just...
Exactly. Yeah. Living the dream. He couldn't live that, the normal life of us peasants.
Oh, no, you couldn't, what was it, $14 a truffle at that restaurant?
Yeah. It's the biggest of the season.
Yeah.
Ira, motherfucker.
Unbelievable.
The show needs more wags of just going on vendors.
Right. Right. Just doing crazy shit, you know, in the office. Yeah. It's still a very entertaining show. So.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
So tonight is officially the last night of the NBA regular season.
Thank God.
I mean, it really is a long season. I mean, it started mid-October.
Too long, man. It's way too long.
Yeah. I mean, there's some intriguing stuff, though. I mean, what do you got? You got your team, the Nuggets, and the T-Wolves. They're playing, what, for the 8th seed, so they can, you know, lose to the Rockets in 4. They play a 5-game series, losing 3 games.
I think they could win a game or two.
I think the Nuggets can. I don't think
See, the problem thing, Denver can score on them. You know, they can match them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And this, the Rockets, what's his name? Luke Babamute?
He's out the first round, yeah.
Yeah, he's their best defender. I mean, that's tough. They probably would have had him on Jokic.
So. Well, they got PJ Tucker.
He's good, but he can't guard the Joker.
Oh, the Joker. The god.
My guy. So, I don't know. That'll be, at least that'll be an entertaining series. Minnesota, yeah, they're entertaining too. They got a lot of, you know, they got stars on their team, but I would love to see Denver. Both of those teams just go up and down, up and down.
Yeah, they're a fun team to watch. One of the most fun teams. T-Wolves, I mean, you know, Karl Anthony Towns, he's had a great second half. It hasn't been enough. If they had Jimmy Butler, they wouldn't even be in this predicament. They'd be definitely a higher seed. And then what else is, like, intriguing? Oh, I saw somewhere Russell Westbrook, if he grabs 16 boards tonight, he averages another triple-double. Which is crazy, man. To do that 2 years in a row is incredible. And he's not even going to make, like, will he even make second team All-NBA?
Should. It's ridiculous that he's not, man. The numbers that he puts up are just ridiculous. I think people get so, like, because he does it so easily, and people just are like, ah, whatever. Nah, man, that shit's crazy. That's really hard to do.
Yeah. Do you think they have a chance, OKC? Like, any chance at all?
It's going to be the Warriors, right?
Oh, yeah, they have the Warriors first round. Hell no. All right, never mind. Zero chance.
Thing is, though, Kurt, I mean, the Warriors look like shit right now. I know it's easy for, like, people to be like, oh, they'll turn it on, which, you know, they probably will, but they've looked terrible. Curry's not there. I don't know, man. They could maybe put a scare in some. I don't think they're going to be blowing them out every game. I think they'll be in every game.
Yeah, well, Clay was hurt for a little while. Kerr has, you know, been handing the clipboard over to some of the players this year. I mean, they clearly haven't been taking it that serious, and they're still the second seed.
I mean, it's hard to, what, they won two in a row now? Or no, one or, wait, two out of three, right?
Right.
I mean, you get kind of complacent. It's just human nature. Like, they've done it before many times now. They've won so many games.
Right.
But who knows, though? They can just turn it on, and we'll see. But right now, they look like shit.
Yeah. So actually, the Thunder, they're not definitely the seventh seed. I think, so them and the Spurs both have one more game. They're tied at 47-34. Actually, so are the Pelicans in the fifth seed. So that's going to be real interesting tonight.
If I was the Thunder, and it's like, if they lose and like go to like, I don't know, they wouldn't go to the eighth spot, though. So they could probably only move up.
So right.
They're going to be playing to win, obviously.
Well, actually, I don't know, because the T-Wolves and Nuggets are both 46-35. So that A seed's going to be 47-35. I don't know. This is crazy how it's shaping out in the West. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think it really matters. It's going to be the Rockets or Warriors. I mean, the Trailblazers and Jazz are both, like, I mean, they're hot. Actually, wow. So, all right. So from the third seed down to the A seed, like, all of, like, the same record in the West. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's separated by like a game or two.
Yeah, they're all like even.
Yeah, all bundled up. Yep.
Crazy. And then the East. I mean, who's coming out of the East? The Sixers have won 15 in a row, which is nuts. That's with like out Embiid.
I'm still wrong with Cleveland. I'm not.
Yeah, same.
Can't get against the
There's no now. There's no debating this. Everyone's like, oh, the Raptors. It's the same story every year. Yeah, they have a deep team, but I just don't see it.
I mean, until LeBron gets beat in the conference, you can't bet against them. It's impossible.
No, they're going to turn it on. Everyone's like, oh, their defense sucks. They're going to turn on the defense in the playoffs. I think this is a no-brainer. They're going back to the finals, and I think LeBron shouldn't win MVP. He's not going to. It's probably going to be Harden, or maybe AD. I mean, Anthony Davis has been amazing, but it's probably going to be Harden. What do you think about that?
For MVP?
Yeah.
I would roll with AD. Think about it. Can you name more than three players outside of him and Rondo on that team?
Well, Jrue Holiday, Boogie, obviously.
Well, not counting Boogie.
Oh, okay. What's his face? I don't fucking know. You put me on the spot. I maybe if I think about it a little longer. But yeah, I get your point.
I mean, like, he's done it with like pretty much G League players for the most part,
and he's a runner up. He could win Defensive Player of the Year. So he's not only doing it on the offensive end; he's doing it on the defensive end, like elite levels.
Yeah,
he's incredible, and he stayed healthy. Remember, I think our first episode of this podcast, we talked about how he's the glass man, and he's shut us up. You know,
Yeah, which is good. I'm happy.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. For his sake, I hope they're able to like maybe advance to the second round. Because I want to keep watching him play in the playoffs.
Yeah. Not like I have any sympathy for Boston, but it really is a shame about the Celtics.
No
Hayward or Kyrie, so they have zero chance. Even though Brad Stevens has done an amazing job, I don't think he'll win Coach of the Year. Who do you think is going to win Coach of the Year? It's a tough one.
Shit, you gotta go with Casey on Toronto.
I think it's either going to be him. You can make a case for Quinn Snyder. They didn't have an all-star. I mean, they might have the Rookie of the Year, but...
Terry Stotts on Portland is up there, too.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good coaching jobs this year. Hornacek.
All right, let's pivot over to that. So he's obviously getting fired tomorrow, right?
I think they're going to do it right away. Like, that day? Yeah.
Well, what's his face? Incarcerated Bob... He already tweeted breaking news, Jeff Hornacek to be fired, blah blah blah. So, and he's usually right, if I'm being honest. I don't like to toot that guy's horn, but
yeah.
But you know, he's usually on point, and they've been talking about his replacement for months now. It's inevitable.
Yeah, but like, who do they? First of all, who the hell are they gonna get? I don't want Mark Jackson.
I like Fizz. I think when it's all said and done, I'd want Fizdale. I think he'd be my top choice.
I've heard there's like rumors of Jerry Stackhouse actually.
I saw that. What the fuck is that?
I don't know. At least we know that like none of the players will try and fight him.
Actually, Craig Robinson, Michelle Obama's brother, who's the what is his role on the Knicks? He's like
player development.
Player development or whatever. Apparently he's a candidate. Like that would just be like. Give me a break. That would be such a joke. Like, I'm sorry.
I was terrible in college.
Oh, was he? Who'd he coach?
For Oregon State.
Oh, okay. Not memorable, I mean, obviously.
It's not easy to, recruit there, but still, he wasn't good at all.
Right. So, there's a lot of candidates. I think it's coming down. I think it's going to be down to Mark Jackson, Blatt, because that's Mills' boy, and I think Fizdale.
Yeah, I mean... Hornacek kind of got like a raw deal, but he's not the guy, though.
Yeah, at the end of the day, he's not Perry's guy. He's not really Mills' guy. I think it was just a Phil choice. And did you see like a week ago there was the article? Frank Vogel thought he had the job. He had like two interviews and.
Yeah. I kind of wanted Vogel when that
right.
whole thing was down. I thought he would be the guy, and then Phil just kind of kicked Hornacek like out of nowhere.
He wanted someone he could control, and Jeff Hornacek just seems like a nice guy, and,
I don't even think Hornacek gives a shit that he's going to get fired at all.
I don't think he does, because what was he was going to be the assistant on Golden State. That's an amazing gig, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, Kerr goes out with back issues here and there, you get to coach a little bit, and then you're the assistant on the best team in the league. Like, that's an amazing job. Like, just take that. It's like a nice gig, you know?
He's still gonna get paid. I'm not gonna shed any tears for this guy.
No. But it's embarrassing. Obviously, as a Knicks fan, another year, another coaching search. Can you name one positive from the season?
Ah, man, shit. One positive.
That's it.
Frankie didn't get hurt, even though he didn't really play that many minutes. At least he was showing. He's showing me signs now. Trey Burke, obviously.
Trey Burke, definitely, yeah.
Who else? Who was the other young?
Well, Dotson, yeah, 30 the other night.
Outside of that, man, shit, not much. Beasley? I kind of like Beasley if you sign him for, like, 1 year. Not a good, like...
As a bench guy, who can get buckets off the bench, yes, 100%, but...
He's the perfect player on a good team.
Yes.
The guy to have.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's some keepers on the team. I don't know what they're going to do with Cantor.
I think he's going to opt out, and I hope he does. I'm good with him, leaving.
Right. Listen, he's a walking double-double, but that's where it ends. He hasn't improved defensively.
He's not worth the money.
He's not worth the money. Nah, he's always hurt.
We need, a big-time wing player that plays defense, versatile. Aaron Gordon or Jeremy Grant are like my top two wings probably for the free agents.
They're both free agents? Yeah, I'd take either one of those guys. So I kind of have a crazy take regarding the draft. And most people are going to tell me, shut up. That's, you know, bit the Knicks in the ass, you know, for years. But do you know what I'm about to say?
No.
I say trade every pick this year and their first pick next year to move up and grab Luka Doncic, the god.
I would do that, actually.
Oh, okay.
I think he's going to be that good. For him or Ayton, that's it. You better be getting the number one or two pick, though.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, for either Luka or Ayton, that's it. I wouldn't move up for anyone else. But I think those two guys are, like, generational type players. Like, they're both...
You're pretty much trading two top 10 picks, probably, like, whatever. In between, like, 8 and 10, two of those picks, and what, a second round pick to get one or two? Hell yeah, do it.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, like, the eighth pick, or whatever, a lottery pick, the two second round picks, next year's first. Would a team, like, would the, was it like the Suns or the Kings, like, would they do that? Like, that's the thing. I don't even know if they would, you know.
I don't think so. I don't think you can, like, trade that pick for Ayton, man. He's just, or Luka. I think these guys, the NBA guys, know how good they're going to be.
Right.
Like, you'd have to really wow them with the trade offer.
Right.
It's possible. Sure, it's worth a shot. But, I think they're going to be just, you know, legit superstars. Those are the only two I probably feel like in this draft coming up.
Yeah, yeah. Agreed. All right, so we're both in agreement on that. And sure. All right, let's end on this. Baseball. Yanks, 5-6. They've had some games where they've looked amazing. They've had some games where they've been embarrassing. The Mets, 9-1. How about that?
Yeah, I can't. They're 9-1? Shit. Yeah. Who have they played, though? Actually, they've been a pretty tough schedule. They played the Nationals.
They played the Nats, yeah.
Yeah, they played two. Their pitching's been great. I hope they do well. I hope, you know, both teams are really good. The Yankees just got to wake up. I think when the weather starts getting warmer, they'll start hitting a lot better. I'm just not a fan of Aaron Boone. And
already? It's 11 games.
No. More people say, like, oh, yeah, whatever. No. I didn't want him before he was hired. Like, put him in a body bag. I wanted a guy who had managerial experience or whatever. He's just a puppet for Cashman, man. I just, his personality, he seems like a freaking doofus. I don't know. Like,
all right. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. It remains to be seen. Like I said, it's still April. You know, give it a shot. But, you know, the Red Sox are, you know, they're also 9-1 and smacked the Yanks last night. That was, oof.
Don't get me wrong. If the Yankees are 8-1, I'd still be saying, like, I didn't want Boone. Like, that was just my...
I wanted A-God.
I would have taken Mattingly. Even kept
really? Hard. Mattingly? Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm kind of over that.
Or no, but I wanted to keep Girardi. He kind of pisses me off a little bit sometimes, but that guy was more prepared than anyone. He managed bullpen and the lineups, like, really well. Like, guys not getting injured. Teams are always prepared, focused. Like,
well, Mikey would be he'll be happy to hear that. But, you know, he was there 10 years. I get why Cashman wanted to move on from him. But it's funny you mentioned Mattingly. So just real quick on the Marlins, did you hear that they're... they're now claiming citizenship in the British Virgin Islands.
What? What is that, like, for a tax breaks or something?
Something like that. I don't know. It's hilarious. They're god awful. Matter of fact, the first pitch of the season was a home run against the Cubs, which kind of just says it all.
Obviously, I love Jeter. I hope he does well, but that's going to be, like, extremely tough to get them good.
Yeah, it's right now it's just like a joke. Like, yeah, they're claiming citizenship in the British Virgin Islands, which is shady as hell. That's where, like, you know, drug lords hide their, you know, their money. Like, what the fuck? Like,
wait, so it's like, this is all Jeter's, like, idea? Like, I don't understand.
But, see, he's the figurehead of all these owners. There's, like, a ton of owners, right? Like, he's just got a percentage now, like a small percentage.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's just hilarious. The British Virgin Island Marlins, I guess you can call them moving forward. Baseball, you know, we have plenty of time to talk baseball.
April what? 11? You know, I'll start getting the Yankees are under 500 or looking like shit and injured by like mid-June, then maybe I'll
then
be like,
yeah, then it's time to worry for sure. But
everything, it all comes back down to it. The Red Sox will come back to the mean. Yankees will start going to streak. It'll be all
right. Right. Stan, I think he'll be all right. The guy was MVP last year. I mean, it's a big difference between, you know, New York and Miami, but I think he'll get it together. Hopefully get it together. So. All right, good. We got to everything.
What about the freaking NFL draft, Tone?
Should we save that for Juice?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, because let's say that's his second favorite sporting event.
Yeah. He can talk to us about his taco adventure.
Yes.
And so, how he did on his final exam.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully we'll have Juice back next week. We can talk tacos, NFL draft, school.
Cool.
All that good stuff. So. All right, Shmo.
All right, chicken.
All right, later. One.
Pretty good.
Hello.
What up, cuz?
Yo, what's up, Tony? How you doing?
Doing well. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Not too bad for Wednesday.
So we wanted to, I wanted to have you on last week. Just to talk about Villanova, man. Twice in 3 years. I was with you Saturday night for the Final Four, the Nova domination, and thoughts on your team coming to glory again.
Well, let's see. So you know what? I gotta be honest, when we watched the final together 2 years ago in 2016, that was insane. It was just the most exciting thing I'd ever seen. I didn't even think that I would ever see Nova win a championship in my lifetime. So when that happened, it was just like, this is awesome. The way it happened, like the run they made was fantastic. The shot at the end. This time around, it was great to watch. It was just a totally different experience. It was just, they were just rolling over teams throughout the tournament, winning by double digits each game. And then the final, it was like early in the second half. You're like, well, all right, it looks like Nova's going to win, barring any kind of total meltdown. So I wasn't like, even Samantha looked at me as they were winning it, as the game was ending. She's like, you don't seem excited. I'm like, well, yeah, I don't know. It's great, but it's just, it's certainly a different feeling. And now it's awesome, but it was just a lot different this year. I don't know if you thought the same thing about the run, or...
Well, you got on me because a few podcasts ago, we were kind of like, Nova's not going to win. They're no chance, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I did. Did I? Yeah. I seem to remember that.
Yeah. And, wow. I mean, they really proved me wrong. They were incredible. I mean, they were dominant. And I know what you're saying about the whole championship thing, because as a Yankee fan, after like the second, third, fourth, fifth, you know, it's just like, oh, this is business as usual at this point. But with Nova, I mean, this is, you know, Paul was saying something pretty interesting. Almost like they're like the new Duke. Like Duke was one of these teams that kind of came out of nowhere. You know, this like, not flashy. Coach K isn't flashy by any means, but like this great coach and, you know, I guess like a Catholic school. Nova's a Catholic school, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just coming out of nowhere, jumping on the scene like a small school and just like, you know, taking the college world by storm. I mean, they were pretty down. Brunson, Bridges, Dante, your boy Dante DiVincenzo, Spellman.
Sixth man stepping up. I don't know if you remember this, but two years ago, Phil Booth was the sixth man coming off the bench, and he had a huge game in the final. So it's really that twice now, it's the sixth man that's been really the instrumental player in the championship game.
Yeah. Jay Wright, I think he's got the magic touch, man. He knows what players to plug in at the right times. And it's something else that Paul said. I think actually when we were watching the Final Four and they were just, you know, killing Kansas, he was texting me saying, you know, they, you know, Jay Wright created the small ball style of play, whereas you could just, you know, plug, doesn't matter, center, power forward, you know, you could just plug, you know, five guards in there and, you know, they can make it work. And I thought that was pretty fascinating. I never heard that about Villanova or Jay Wright, but I mean, he is a stud, and I'm not just saying that by his coaching abilities. Sure. That guy's a looker, huh? I mean, he could dress. He's tall, dark.
Oh yeah,
handsome.
Yeah, you know, I read his book, Attitude, that was published after they won the championship in 2016, and he actually mentions like the attention he gets for his wardrobe, and after like in the wake of all that and all that attention, he tried to like tone down his look, but I guess he has all the suits are custom made by a Philadelphia tailor. So he tried to tell that to the tailor, and the tailor was like, look, we have a reputation. We're not just going to like stop dressing you nice. So he couldn't really do that. But I don't know if you noticed this, but all the assistant coaches, the rest of the staff on the team, they all dress like just as nice, if not nicer than him. It's like a whole like cultural thing on the team.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, they all look like they're you know, Giorgio Armani suits,
right?
On the side,
right?
Yeah, it's. But I think having a well dressed, like a very presentable, professional coach, I think that trickles down to the team in terms of like just playing professionally, being focused, having the right attitude at all times. You notice like Villanova players, they very rarely lose their cool in a game, and that's partly the players he tries to recruit, but also it's a culture that he instills and a mindset that he tries to instill in his players. Just to stay focused. If somebody makes a bad play, nobody points fingers. You just move on to the next play. Just keep playing the Villanova basketball.
Right.
So I think it's a package.
Right. Yeah. He definitely recruits smart players. He gets guys to stay at least three or 4 years, even though I know. Yeah, I mean, how long was Kyle Lowry even there? When did he jump early? Do you remember?
He is before I started tracking the team, because I didn't start the grad program there till 2009.
Right.
Right after the Final Four run with Scotty Reynolds and those guys. So I don't know how long Lowry. I want to say Lowry came out after his sophomore year.
Okay, but like, bottom line is he never has one and done. He always gets guys to stay and, you know, get a good education. And yeah, I mean, like you were saying, you know, look good, play good, that whole thing. And that kind of leads me to another thing. You know, of course, every time, you know, a coach, you know, has a dominating performance and wins a championship and it starts all the speculation, you know, NBA, blah, 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 blah. But I think he would be a great NBA player, because going back to what Paul was saying about, you know, he created the small ball thing. When everyone thinks, you know, Kerr and the Warriors created that, but, you know, he kind of did. So he already has like an NBA style coaching style. The Knicks look like they're going to need a coach. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know, because you know how his style is. Like, he players with big egos, that's not who he recruits. You can't have somebody who like wants the ball at all times. All those players are very willing to share the basketball, to let their teammates step up on any given night. Like, even if you look at the tournament run, you had Dante stepped up big in the championship game, but a couple games before, against West Virginia and Texas Tech, it was Bridges. You had Brunson stepping up a couple games. It can always be somebody different. And in the pros, you got like, you have a couple of guys with egos who, when the game's on the line, they want to take the big shot. I could see him just not having the same success. I don't know if his style translates to the pros, but maybe it does. But it doesn't seem like it to me.
Well, I see what you're saying. So, like, you know, well, it's funny you say that. So, like, Quinn Snyder, who's the Utah Jazz coach, he came from college. I think he was coach at Missouri, and I forget where else. And he's gotten them to play very team-oriented basketball. They're the third seed in the Western Conference, and they didn't have an all-star this year. Now they have Donovan Mitchell, who played at Louisville last year, who might be the rookie of the year, but he's got them playing very team-oriented basketball. So maybe in the right team, it might work with him. And, you know, there's already speculation him being the next Sixers coach, even though I don't think Brett Brown should be fired. I think he's been done a great job there. What were you going
to
say?
They're about to, the Sixers are about to break the record, right? If they win tonight?
Yeah, they've won 15 straight. Games. Yeah.
Yeah, that's impressive. Yeah, you're right. You know what? I think if he were coaching an NBA team, he was given like freedom and latitude to kind of be a GM also and pick the players he wanted on the team, then maybe he could probably have some success. But I think he has to have a lot of control over the team, the players on the roster.
Right. Absolutely. Now, Brunson, Bridges, both declared for the drafts. So they're gone. Bridges, who knows? Yep. He may be a Knick if they're at the eighth spot. Which I mean, I'll take him. I don't think he's a go-to guy. I've said it like a million times, but he's an elite three-point shooter. Could be an elite defender. Great athleticism.
He could be a 3-and-D guy.
Yes,
that could be his thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Brunson would be. I think I was telling you this. He'd be a good. I feel like he'd be a good like backup point guard, like a solid backup point guard for a team.
I think so. It's just, the speed, the athleticism isn't there, but he's smart. He's a great player, so.
Yeah. So, with that being said, what is their, like, starting lineup? I mean, obviously Dante and then Spellman will be back. Like, who do they have any big recruits coming? Like, are they going to be good next year?
I think they have a couple of really strong recruits. I'm not as plugged into their recruiting, but I would, obviously Dante and Spellman are going to be starting. I would imagine Cosby Roundtree will also be starting as a big man. Gillespie, he's probably starting point guard. And then, I don't know who's going to fill out the rest of the starting five. It's going to be interesting. It's probably going to be a rookie.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But it's going to be interesting. I'm sure Jay Wright's going to get some phone calls from some teams. He's going to get offered a lot of money, but these college coaches shouldn't go anywhere. When you have when you're a head coach at one of these big, prestigious colleges, like why go anywhere? You're the king there, So.
Oh yeah, look, everybody. I don't think I've ever heard anybody from Villanova say anything negative about Jay Wright ever. Even when we had a string of disappointing early exits from the tournament, he's a class act. Regarded now as one of the best coaches in college basketball, and probably top five. And he's got a great gig at Nova. He grew up in that area. He was Rally Massimino's assistant for a number of years. He's just, his roots are there. And I think he has a really great thing going. I don't see him ever leaving. I hope he doesn't.
No, I hope he doesn't either. You nailed it. He's a perfect fit there. And I hope he's the coach there for the next, how old is he? He's got to be. What is he in, like his mid-50s?
Yeah, I think early 50s. Jay Wright is Google.
Yeah, check the Google.
He's 56. You're right, mid-50s.
Oh, wow. So he's got, at least 10 more years, he seems like he's in great shape and keeps himself, put together. I think, he'll be living a long time and on the sideline a long time. And, he's so cool. Like, when they won, when I was over your apartment 2 years ago and what's his face hit the three to win it. Like, he didn't even blink. He was just like, all right, guys, calm down.
I know. I couldn't believe he was so cool in that situation. That was the most exciting thing I've ever seen. And he's just like, all right.
Yeah. We're like jumping up and down like a bunch of schoolgirls. Yeah. It was, he's cool. He's cool, man. The Jets. J-E-T-S. Our beloved.
Making moves.
Beloved Jets, have you been following any of the draft stuff? Is they got the number three pick. It's a huge draft for them. Is there any of these QBs that you're intrigued by? Anyone in particular you want them to draft?
I think Darnold would still be the best one to get if he's available at three. Do you think that's a possibility?
I don't think so. I think everyone's like, oh, Cleveland loves Darnold, but then like the next day, oh, Cleveland loves Josh Allen, who's the quarterback from Wyoming. I think at the end of the day, it's going to be Sam Darnold. I think most of the scouts and experts, quote unquote, think he's the guy. So I think Darnold's definitely going one. Two, no one knows what the Giants are going to do. And then the Jets sit at three. They traded up for someone, so hope they don't fuck it up.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope they don't fuck it up either. I'm glad that they're going after, you know, that they traded up and they're finally going to get, like, the guy that they want. Hopefully this is another, like, I mean, even when we got Sanchez, and that was, what was he, 6 overall?
Yeah.
That's not, yeah. I like that we're going 3, we're going quarterback. Maybe we'll finally get a stud. We haven't had a great quarterback.
Ever?
On the Jets in, yeah, ever. But, I mean, Favre for half a year. Favre for half a year was cool. That could have been the year if his shoulder held up.
Well, but actually, it was the whole year. It should have been half a year, but his shoulder, you know, he's too prideful to go out. And he ended up staying in there, and they lost, what, like the last four out of the last 5 games and blew it. They were 8-3. Yeah. And then, yeah, he was hurt, like, yeah, like pretty much half or whole, the whole year, but didn't say anything, or he just didn't want to come out. And then he was showing cheerleaders his dick, and yeah.
Yeah, I know. And, all right, thanks, Brett. This is great. Yeah. Yeah, but if he stays healthy that whole year, who knows? Who knows? Maybe it's their second Super Bowl.
Oh,
but, you know, that's, yeah, you sound like a real Jets fan when you start talking like that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Look, whether it's Josh Allen or they get lucky enough to get Darnold or whatever, I just hope that it's somebody that, like, we'll be at the helm for a while and that we can build a team around. Enough of this, like, guys who have an okay year, like 50, and you're like, oh, it's just the rest of the team is good. Let's go with a mediocre quarterback who played over his head for a year. Like, I'm just sick of that.
Yeah. 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 Enough of that. Like, McCown better not be starting opening day or week one. Like, I'll flip out about that. Teddy Bridgewater. You know, 1 year, $5 million, you know, why not? Let's kick the tires with him. He might not even make it to week one. They're saying he could still be injured. So they got to really nail this draft. And I don't know. I like Josh Rosen or Baker Mayfield, but if Darnold does happen to slip down to 3, I'd be cool there with him too. Josh Allen, I've talked about on a previous episode. He's very inaccurate, and we've seen that with Christian Hackenberg. Right. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, and Hackenberg, he's even worse than we thought he would be.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if Darnold's available at 3, if the Jets don't take him, then that's insane.
Right. Right. So it's gonna be interesting. Hey, I wanted to ask you real quick. So Paul Ryan retired from Congress today. Now, I like talking to you about politics because you're one of the few people I know that's, like, fair. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people lean one way or lean the other way. When I talk to you about politics, you're very fair. So what are your thoughts on this? I mean, it's just been obviously, you know, crazy.
Yeah, I saw the headline. It just surprised me. I didn't even know he was thinking about it. He's still a pretty young guy. He's in his 40s.
Yeah.
So I don't know. They're saying one of his assistants, like either I think it's Cornyn, or he's going to step up and fill the void. It's not like either the whip or somebody else. But I was I don't know. I don't know if we have all the facts on, like, his reasons for leaving. I think the official statement was I want to spend more time with his kids and his family. But there's speculation that he figures that the House and Senate will flip and the Republicans will lose their majorities and there'll just be a losing proposition going forward in the House. But I try to be fair about politics. I definitely lean right. I haven't been the biggest fan of Paul Ryan. I don't think he was wishy-washy on his support for Trump, understandably so, especially after the Access Hollywood tape. It was hard to stand behind Trump after that especially for establishment Republicans.
Right.
Look, I think he was all about the tax reform. That was his baby. I know he's also big on the entitlement reform, but look, he got the tax reform done, maybe retire on a high note. And I think the expectation is getting any legislation through after midterm elections, assuming that the Democrats take control, it's just going to be really, really tough.
Yeah.
So maybe it's like, there's no point in me even staying here and just sitting around getting nothing done for 2 years.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what he's thinking.
Plus, it's just, I mean, so many people, you know, liberals, obviously, they just like to hate on him. I don't know if he was just feeling the heat from the media. I mean, you know, amidst all this Stormy Daniels stuff and Russian collusion. It was just, you know, we're not there. We're not in D.C. We're not behind the scenes. We don't really know all the craziness that goes on down there.
Yeah.
So it might have just drove him crazy. I mean, he clearly, like, every time they'd show him, he kind of looked, like, stressed. Like, usually he was always kind of, like, cool, calm, and collected. I don't know. Every time I see him as of late, he just looked like the world was weighing on his shoulders, you know?
Yeah, I hear you on that. I think he was a lot more comfortable in the way Washington operated before Trump became president.
Yeah.
Like, that's the Washington he knew, and now things are just a lot different. And there's definitely a lot of resistance, both obviously from the liberals, from the Democrats, but also from within the Republican Party. People were like, this isn't the way we do business. This guy's trying to kind of upend a lot of the things we do with this. He tweets all the time. He's got this temper. His negotiating tactics are—it's like terrifying the world every time he tweets something about what we're doing. And I think people are sort of like slowly getting used to some of the craziness. But then you have this raid. Like, what do you make of that? The raid on Michael Cohen's office.
That's what you know. Stormy said that, you know, she was paid what, $130,000. Michael Cohen to, you know, hush.
Right.
And then Trump was actually on video being asked about it. And he's like, I know nothing about it. Blah, blah, blah. Ask Michael, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I thought, oh, this, you know, Trump likes to call it a witch hunt. And, you know, a lot of this stuff, it always just kind of like goes away. And, you know, Russian collusion, and nothing ever happens. But now it's like, the other day, like, they raided his apartment and took all these files. Yeah. And I still think nothing's going to happen, but it's...
Well, you know, I was reading a little bit about that because it's a lot for the FBI. It takes a lot to get a warrant to raid a lawyer's office and go through files, because the client privilege between a lawyer and his client is a very strong legal relationship. So it's not just like raiding like a regular business. Like, if a hedge fund gets in trouble for insider trading, they can get right in there relatively easily with a warrant. A warrant to raid a lawyer's office, it takes compelling probable cause evidence. So I'm thinking they must have had something, because they had like a federal district judge sign off on that warrant. So there had to be something there that I don't think anybody's like fully aware of yet, in order for them to get that warrant and raid Cohen's office. So it just seems to me that this is way too visible, way too out in the open for somebody to have just like said, fuck it, let's just raid his office. It wasn't like done like that, I don't think.
Right.
I think it had to be like, there's a good reason we need to do this, and like we're pretty sure we're gonna find something. So I don't know. And now they're talking about, Congress is talking again about making sure that Mueller is protected, and Trump is talking about how he has the power to fire him again, blah, blah, blah.
But then someone close to Trump told him that's career suicide if you fire another FBI head.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. You have to fire Rosenstein, and then it's just a mess.
It's
right now. I don't know. I'm with you. I don't know if there's anything that's going to emerge from all of this. I'm kind of sick of the Russia probe too. It's like, either file charges against somebody or stop. And why is, like, what I don't understand at all is, what is Stormy Daniels and that $130,000 have to do at all with Russia collusion?
I know.
Like, how outside the scope of this mandate are we? I thought this guy was investigating Russia collusion. All of a sudden, you're interested in Michael Cohen, who had nothing to do with the Trump campaign, really, aside from making this payment to Stormy Daniels, which, look, I think this woman wanted to go public about an affair she had with Donald Trump close to the election in order to influence the outcome of the election. Was seeking personal financial gain, obviously, the best years of her porn career behind her.
Yeah.
And she's trying to make a quick buck. And that's smart. That's opportunistic. Like, why not? But she made a deal and she took the money. And then, like, a few months later, she hires this douchebag lawyer. What's that guy's name? Andretti or Andruzzi or whatever that?
Yeah, I think Andruzzi.
Like, oh, yeah. yeah, he's making a name for himself, and she's trying to fight this thing. She does the 60 Minutes, and it's all to keep herself relevant, to keep her basically financially sound and able to earn more money. So it's all in her own self-interest. I'm sure she had the affair with Trump. I'm sure Michael Cohen, as a friend of Trump, was just like, look, I saw a threat to you becoming elected. I took matters into my own hands. I'm sure there's no record of Trump saying make that payment. But no. So if that's what they're looking for, they're not going to find that. Like, he's too smart for that.
No, yeah, there's no way. Unless it was years ago before. When did they have this affair?
Like, 06.
That's what I'm saying. So that's years before he probably decided to become president. So I don't know. He might have been a little more sloppy back then, not knowing he was going to run for president. You know,
yeah, but at the end of the day,
10 years later.
Like, who gives a shit? Everybody knows that Donald Trump has banged every porn star that he could possibly get his hands on.
That's the thing.
Like, this is not a surprise. That wouldn't have even, you know, Cohen should have just not paid her because nobody would have given a shit anyway. That's nothing compared to the Access Hollywood tape.
Oh, nothing. No. That was clear cut, like, you know, like, that's him on, you know, and he still denied it, didn't he? Didn't he say, like, oh, it's not me or something? I don't know, something, like, leaked out about that.
Yeah, initially, he did. He's like, that doesn't sound like something he'd say.
Yeah.
That was his, when they first played on the recording of the Access Hollywood tape, that was his reaction.
Yeah. He's, oh, man, he's quite the character, I swear. I mean, there's some things he says that I actually agree with, but yeah, the tweeting it makes him look so bad.
Yeah, look, anybody who voted for Trump knew they weren't voting for a Boy Scout.
Right.
But look, at the end of the day, a Boy Scout's not the one who's going to get things done in D.C.
No.
And already, look, if you look at what he's done for the tax reform, a huge accomplishment. I don't care if you agree with it or disagree with it, it's a huge thing to push through. And if North Korea actually comes to the negotiating table and denuclearizes, like, even CNN would give him credit for that. Like, you can't deny that that's the biggest accomplishment any president's had in decades, if that actually happens.
If the what? I'm sorry. If the what again?
If North Korea actually starts the process of denuclearizing.
Absolutely. That's a huge accomplishment. And then... Remember what I was telling you about the Roseanne Barr tweet?
Yeah.
You know, how she was saying how Trump has put away high-profile child molesters all over the world and saved a lot of children and this and that and blah, blah, blah. But but if that was true, I mean, wouldn't that be, like, big-time news? Like, I'm not saying on, like, the left-leaning channels, but, like, on Fox News, wouldn't they be, like, top story, like, Trump puts away pedophiles in high place, you know, like, that would be a big thing. He'd be, like, patting himself on the back about that. Like, why did she come out and say some crazy shit like that?
I don't know. And like, I can't figure that out. So either she's just crazy and making that up, or she's the only one who knows. So,
well, yeah,
it's probably the former. It's probably that she's just making that up, or she read something and took it out of context because. Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, yeah, this goes back to, yeah, InfoWars, Alex Jones, that whole stuff. I mean,
right.
You know, they swear by that stuff. And again, you know, if he was really doing this, I'd like to think he'd be bragging about it. And honestly, if he did do something like that, I'd be like, you know what? Great job, because some sick fucks out there. And if he's putting them away, you know, I don't care what he's tweeting.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was instructing the Justice Department to go after those types of people aggressively. I agree with you. I think he'd probably be taking a lot of credit for it. He was putting people behind bars.
Right. Exactly. But we'll see. It's every day's always, you know, it's interesting at least. You know, it's you know, I wake up every morning and, you know, go on the toilet bowl and, you know, open up Twitter and
Yep. Because right at like 6:37, you know you got a couple of good ones.
Oh, yeah, like clockwork, like every morning. Yep, 6:37. Yeah, he's entertaining. I'll say that. So, but
it's an interesting presidency.
Yeah,
hopefully he doesn't get impeached or anything. And then look, honestly, real quick, unless the Democrats pull a rabbit out of their hat, or Trump gets impeached, and the whole like this Mueller thing, there is some collusion or there is some kind of criminal activity. Unless any of that happens, he's winning re-election. Like, there's nobody.
Whoa. You're right, though. There is nobody. Everyone wants to float out The Rock or Oprah. Give me a break. Like,
look, they have the name recognition.
Right.
But I don't think Oprah wants to run.
No. The Rock actually has kicked the tires.
Yeah, well, I people might vote for him just because he's The Rock, the same way that Schwarzenegger got elected governor of California. But, like, what are his policies? Like, what are his positions? I don't know. I think when a lot of these people who toy with the notion of running for office actually, like, think about what it would take and what it means, that's when they get a little, on second thought. I think that's what happened to Oprah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, other than those two, the Kennedy guy. What was it, like, Kennedy's grandson or whatever?
Oh, is he, like...
He's the guy that spoke after the State of the Union with all the lip balm on his face.
Oh, no, dude, if he's ever going to run, like, he's not. I don't see him. He doesn't have any of the charisma or anything that is that JFK or RFK had.
No, of course not. But
I don't see him going for it. He's got the name, that's it.
He's got the name. It was, you know, they right after the State of the Union, they, like, every network went immediately to that. It was just kind of almost like, you know, the powers that be playing a puppeteer with the politicians.
It's hard for me to imagine somebody within the political sphere emerging for the Democrats. Because even Obama, he emerged in 2004. He made that big speech at the Democratic convention. And that really put him in the spotlight. But it was 4 years later that he was able to run for president. So it took him a while, even a guy like Obama, to build enough of, like, a reputation to make a run for president. Now, we're already, like, over a year into Trump's presidency. Nobody like that has... There's no Obama Jr. that emerged a year ago that's building his brand right now, or her brand.
No.
They got Pocahontas, who is unelectable in a general
Elizabeth
election.
Warren, yeah.
Yeah. And Joe Biden, is he...
Nah, he's too old.
Yeah, he's pretty old.
Well, he said he could beat Trump up, right? Didn't he say that or something like that?
Yeah, he would take him behind the bleachers in high school. Kick his ass.
I would pay big money to watch Biden versus Trump fight. Like pay-per-view status, like that would be awesome.
Trump probably has a size and weight advantage, but Biden strikes me as the type of guy who probably knows how to fight. I don't think Trump knows how to fight.
But Trump's in the WWE Hall of Fame. He knows how to fight.
You know that's funny?
He's in the WWE, I can't even say it, WWE Hall of Fame. That's a fact.
But that's not fighting. That's like...
Well, he did. I mean, he did. He was in some fights. You remember he posted the video of him, like, body slamming someone? Remember that? like a year ago?
No, I don't remember. All right, wait a minute. So he does know how to fight. Like, I just thought that he always, like, was a rich kid who never really got his hands dirty.
I mean, he, WWE, you know, it's... You know, half. I mean, it's fighting. It is. It's.
Right.
It's not like MMA or boxing or real wrestling, but it's, you know, it's somewhat fighting. It's physical. I mean, I don't know the extent he did, but he's, like I said, he's in the Hall of Fame and he has fought, you know, on a pay per view or Monday Night Raw or one of those.
All right. So maybe I'm misinformed, obviously. So I don't know. Yeah, that would be. Dude, if they put that on pay per view, those two guys fighting, that would be.
I'm here for that.
The century.
I'm here for that. Yep. Sign me up. Where do I sign up?
I would pay $500 to watch that on pay-per-view.
I think, you know what? I'd think about it. I mean, that would be, oh my God, that would be hilarious.
And everybody would just be decrying it as like, this is what our country has become. This is terrible.
Yet everyone would view and watch it. There's not a soul out there that wouldn't want to watch that.
You're absolutely right. That would just be the Super Bowl. That would be the Super Bowl times 10.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, oh, man. All right. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you for having me.
Yeah. This was fun. We'll do it again down the line. And have a good night, sir.
All right, man. Good night.
All right, take care.
You're welcome. You're all